on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, The Science of Sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Oh, well, good morning, folks. Welcome to The Science of Sport. I realised, you know, when you post something on Facebook, you've probably never done this, and you realise just right now, I just said, about to do an hour of radio, posted it. So for anyone's listening, not 9 till 10 p.m. Not 9 till 10 till 11 a.m. So sorry about that. Good morning, Jackie Lauder.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We'll get to where you've been. Good morning, Professor Mark Fabreo.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Known from here on as Mark. And to you, champion. Where you been, Jax?
I've been in Florida. So over in the US doing a running event.
Oh, have you?
I never thought I'd be the person to say that. But yes, I went over with my sister.
What was the running event?
So a part of the Disney company, they have a branch called Run Disney, and they have running events.
Really?
Yeah, they have running events all through the year.
Yeah.
And of course, no one does it quite like Disney, but this is their biggest event that they run. And so it was called the Dopey Challenge, which is a four-day event, and every day you double your distance. So it's 5K the first day, 10K the second day, 21 the third, a full marathon on the fourth day, and that's the Dopey Challenge. If someone does the half and the full, that's called the Goofy Challenge. And yeah, so basically that's what we went over there.
Did you run a
to do? I did the 5 and the 10.
That's good.
And my sister did the whole lot. So, but it was an amazing event and very different to normal marathons and running events where people go to get times and really this one is all about participation and completing it. And so all along the runs, they have all of your Disney characters and people stop and have photos. Through the marathon, there's one ride open so people can stop, do a ride, keep running. Mm. Like, it's amazing. It's a very fun event. And for someone who's not – I don't consider myself a runner, even though I'm running. Mm. I don't consider myself that as a passion for me. But for someone in my position, it's probably the perfect event to start with because it is about participation. It's not about times or anything like that. So it was a lot of fun.
It's about having fun. It's about you still ran 15Ks. You did a 5. It's still plenty of distance.
Yeah.
What about you, champ? Where you been?
I've been I was in Melbourne for Christmas and New Year's and then I went back to Sydney last week and went back to work for a week and now I'm on holidays again.
It's tough at the top, isn't it?
Well, I actually we often struggle to take annual leave, and we're told to because you do so much travel when you're an academic that the last thing you want to do is go on a holiday. But I'm spending the week with my daughters in Point Lonsdale this week.
I do a lot of travel as well, and people go, "Where are you going to go?" I'm going to go nowhere. I go everywhere all the time.
It's so nice.
You know what I did?
Home.
You know what I did on my annual leave? Nothing. Trained a bit. Did some domestic duties and did a lot of sleeping.
You know what I find interesting though? I'm very diligent when I get on long haul flights to make sure I get up regularly and go and stretch and go for a walk. I'm amazed at the number of people that will do a long haul flight and not move for 14 hours. They will sit in their seats.
Oh, like, how do they
I don't understand how they do it. They must feel terrible when they get
thrombosis.
Off.
Yes,
it's called a staycation, according to our producer, Jackie, which is very clever. A vacation at home is called a staycation.
Is that right?
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan of vacations.
Now, speaking of marathons and such, I don't know if I might have told you this a few years ago, but my former business partner, still on good terms, but Mikey, he's run a few marathons, and at the end of one of his marathons, he was knackered, and he said, next time, can you just be here with a crownie or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. And we sat down at work the next day, so that was a Sunday, and all the boys were sitting around. And, of course, men being stupid alpha males with creativity that really goes awry, we've all come up with the notion of him running a marathon being fueled only on beer.
I remember you telling me this
story.
So
literally this is what we did, Mark. So we found a 6 kilometre stretch, which he was to run 7 times. And at the start, he drank a stubby and every 6 kilometres, including the finish thereafter. So he had... And I've got to say, in hindsight, wasn't the best.
Oh, in hindsight,
wasn't the best plan. The
maybe
exercise.
That's the male female difference.
It's actually not not without precedent. There's a this.
Well, let me just say, firstly, he was in all sorts of trouble because he drank no water. He drank no water, and he drank whatever that. I think that adds up to 7 or 8.
Oh
I don't know. I don't drink, but stubbies or whatever.
Whilst his body's under a fair amount of stress.
Well, and not only that, but by I guess the 28K mark, he was off his face.
Yeah,
he was drunk. He was dehydrated, and he was exhausted. And fair to say that his wife, who was at the end. She wasn't that thrilled with Harps. She wasn't that thrilled.
I was about to say, Craig, this is not without precedence. There's a marathon in, you've all heard of the Medoc region in France. Mm-hmm. They make great wine. There's the Medoc Marathon.
I haven't, but just to sound cultured, I'll go, oh, there.
There's the Medoc Marathon that runs through the vineyards, and you can have a glass of wine at every kilometre mark if you'd like. So you could have 42 glasses of wine. I would call this impressive. You might differ. There's a group in Aberdeen called the Aberdeen Hash House Harriers. So they're a running club, and they do a thing called the triple-double. No, the triple-triple. They run 100 kilometres and drink 100 pints in 100 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a marathon and 25 pints a day.
That's just called stupid.
How many women do that? None, because they're too smart. that is just...
That's true. That's alpha male.
Even for me, who does stupid things at times...
I wouldn't do that.
That is...
And I don't like beer.
That is completely ridiculous. Now...
How's your start to the year been?
Yeah, my start has been...
lonely last week?
Oh, super lonely. Super lonely without you. Jack, our producer, was here, and I got a few ring-ins who were great.
They were good.
Yeah, not bad. I've been battling this back thing, which has now turned... I've realised that without boring people. I think my bulging disc lower back thing... I've also got a separate injury in my hip. So you and I are battling the same thing right now, which is sore bottom muscle.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to manage that. And it's funny when you've got an injury because you don't want to do nothing, but you've got to find the line where rehab becomes... negative, not positive, because if you do too much, you're going to re-injure it. If you do nothing, it's going to take extra long. So I've been working around that a little bit and just planning work stuff for 2017. And
it's about variety, I think, though, in your exercise and stuff, whether you're doing rehab or whether you're normally exercising. You know, the thing I've learned is it's got to be a variety that will keep you at least interested or dedicated to what you're doing. I find, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, if you keep doing the same thing, you just get bored. And then your form is going to drop, which makes you more susceptible to injury. But it just becomes, you know, your motivation is going to change.
We're not a real good advertisement for healthy living at the moment because we're all injured.
Well, no, I think we're just human.
But injury doesn't mean you're not healthy.
No, that's true. And talking about
management.
And talking about doing things that are different, I haven't been able to run because of this knee for, I don't think I've run a step in 3 months. I can't even run across.
What's wrong with your knee?
So I had an MRI and I have a 10 by 15 millimetre piece of cartilage, he thinks, that is sheared. It's huge.
Did you say sheared?
Sheared off. I did say sheared. Yeah, sheared off.
That is sheared.
And I have 2 meniscal tears, so I'm actually going under the knife on February the 6th. So that should clear it up. But I thought there's no way I'm not going to be able to get fat because I run a lot. But what I've started doing is some different things. And I've actually started giving the mirrors a workout, Craig. Would you believe? Yeah. And I go to a gym where guys look like you and I'm working out.
Old. They look old.
No, big, like your bicep is like buffed. the size of my quad. And so I'm in here and there's the girls are bigger than me. And I go up and I go... Excuse me, mate. Have you finished with that bench?
Yeah, excuse me, Gail. Have you finished with that pink dumbbell?
And he goes, yeah, mate, go for it. So I take off the 300 pounds.
Yeah, that's right.
And put on the 100 pounds. Anyway, it's been good because I haven't put on any weight. So,
but what's it been like for you who, not that you're anti-weights, but it's not your thing?
No, but it used to be, Craig, because when I was... before I started triathlon, I actually worked in... Do you remember the Nautilus gyms?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I worked in one of those and I was working out all the time and I actually got to nearly 80 kilos. Mm. and now I'm around 70.
But how was it though, getting back into weights?
I didn't mind it. I liked it. I mean, you get the good thing about it when you don't do it for ages is that the rate of progression is amazing.
That's the thing.
It's amazing.
If you ever want to make amazing results in the gym, have a year off and then go back. And not that we'd suggest that, but
in a month, I think I increased what I could do. Three sets of eight on the bench, I increased by 50%.
Amazing. I remember years ago when I was, I used to, believe it or not, run a lot. I run obsessively.
Yeah, I know that.
And then I ran a bit, weights a bit, ran a bit, a few other bits and pieces, all round stuff. And then I went, for no sensible reason, as I often do, I went, just going to get huge now. So I just spent about a year and a half just lifting heavy things and eating chickens and got up to about 100 kilos. And one day, I can't even remember why, I went, I'm going to go for a run. Now, at this stage, I'd already run a marathon and half marathons, but I have not run 10 metres in a year and a half, right? Ooh. So I go, I'm just going to go for a run.
Geez, that's actually quite hard.
I literally, I'm embarrassed to say this, I literally ran 500 metres and I had to stop.
Yep.
My heart rate was through the roof. I was probably 15 to 20 kilos heavier than last time I ran. And I was not old. I was late
30s. Fitness,
I'm like, I'm disgraceful. But
one of the things is you were probably trying to run, but at the same pace as.
But my body felt like I was a caravan with feet. I'm like, how heavy am I? I am monstrous, you know, just that, you know, when you run, even for me at 80 Ks, which is heavy for you, but for me at 80 Ks, I feel like a flipping ninja. I'm so, for me, light on my feet. Yeah. But I was just so heavy, it felt horrible.
Yeah. Have any of you seen this? There's this program on Qantas at the moment, and it's called Overfed and Undernourished. It would be good for you to watch. And it chronicles this little kid.
Is that on the YouTubes? Is that on
the
YouTubes?
So. And it chronicles this little kid who goes on, who's obese.
Yeah.
And he goes on a training program with his uncle, who's a wellness and fitness guy.
What's it called? Overfed and
Undernourished. Okay. Yeah. And it's really interesting. It's literally about how we've just disintegrated into horrible living and a diet and everything. It's really good for people to watch. Anyway, this little kid loses, I think.
How old's this little kid?
11.
Okay.
He's obese.
Yep.
I think it was 11. I don't know. Yep. Anyway, he loses 20 Ks.
Wow.
And then at the end, because it watches him run up this hill in the Gold Coast. Well, I don't want to give it all away. But at the end.
I don't want to give it all away. But at the end.
He does the same run.
Right.
That he did at the start.
That he did. No, he's doing this the whole way.
Right.
But what his uncle, who's his coach, does. And this is getting back to what you were talking about. He puts 20 kilos in a backpack.
Yeah.
And wow.
This kid's fit by now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't. He's like, nah, I wasn't that way.
How did I do this?
Yeah.
A lot of people, I used to do that often at the gym when people would be losing weight. They've lost 10 kilos and I'd just hand them a couple of fives and go, just strap this to your body for the whole day. You don't realize how taxing it is carrying around weight that's not functional.
Yeah.
Our program manager has just put on that his name was Liam and he was Liam Golly, and he was 80 kilos at 11.
I was a fat kid. I was 90 at 14, but Liam's got me covered. I was 90 at 14.
Yeah, right.
I was fat.
It's concerning though when a kid's at 11 years of age and can afford to lose 20 kilos.
Mm. Yeah, but you know the thing.
That's a lot.
Okay, the thing about it is sometimes, and this is why I say don't be too harsh on, don't judge people, because the reason he got overweight, one of the reasons, is his father was a single dad of three kids. And this is the thing that annoys me the most. I know we argue about physiology versus environment. And he lost his mum to cancer. The thing that really annoys me the most is...
Come on, get it out for God's sake. We're on radio.
Eating healthily is too expensive.
Right.
The cheapest way to feed a family is to feed them crap. And I think there should be a sugar and fat tax, and then there should be a – and that should go to subsidising fruit and veg because it's expensive to eat well.
Well, maybe. Why don't we ask our listeners, 0433 98 11 16, do you think that sugar and fat should be taxed as Mark suggests, or give us a call, 94291 1116? I agree with you, but I never, personally, I never judge fat people. I just acknowledge, I think there's a difference between acknowledging an obese child for being an obese child and judging them as human beings.
Yeah, but we do, Craig.
I don't.
I know, like, you don't.
But I don't think everybody does.
No,
and
not
I think,
everyone.
I think the problem is that we all say everybody judges. I don't know, Mark. Well, like, I mean, hang on. Okay. I was a morbidly obese child. I was loved. I was part of – I had a few people who hung it on me, but I was part of the tribe and I had fun. And the reason that I got fat is because I ate more food than I needed to. Sure. Nobody forced me.
I agree.
So I'm not saying that I agree with you, and I think that it's a multi-layered issue, right?
Yeah.
So to go, people just judge. Well, no. Like, because then what happens is we back ourselves into a moral corner where anyone who says anything about a child who is overweight and calls them an overweight or obese child all of a sudden is a pig. Well, no, that's not true, because when I talk about obesity, I'm talking from a physiological, from a health perspective, as an exercise scientist who actually cares very much about the emotional and psychological and physiological consequences that are all part of the obesity picture. So to go, oh, people do this. Well, no, let's not. You're a scientist. Let's not just say that. Let's be more specific. Let's go, some people do that and they're dickheads, right?
Yeah, we're in furious agreement.
They're dickheads.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what I'm about. I think we still need to be able to have unemotional conversations about ways to, and maybe the fat tax and the sugar tax.
So we're in furious agreement, right?
Yep. And but to be able to not be able to call obese children or obese,
I agree.
You know,
with
it's ridiculous.
I agree
because
with you.
It gets in the way of the real issues, which are way deeper than language.
Yeah, I think you've also got to have a look at why, like when you say you overate more than you needed to, the question has to always be, well, why? Let's understand that behaviour. If we want to make a change for someone, you need to understand why the behavior occurred, not just go, oh, you're doing that, that's wrong. Let's find out why, because I can see 10 people exhibiting the same behavior for 10 very different reasons.
And what are some of the, before we go to the break, what are some of them, like for me, if I broke it down, I'd go, well, I had good parents, I had good friends, I had a good environment. What was your real issue, Craig? Oh, I love cake.
sometimes it is as simple as that.
I love cake, the end.
Yep. But now you don't.
No.
And that's because...
Oh, no, I still love cake.
I just won't let yourself have that.
I love cheesecake. I'd punch you in the face for a piece of cheesecake. I'd apologise after. but if you...
I don't like
if
cake.
If you were between
you can,
me...
You can have my cake.
If you
don't
were between me and it.
But I think sometimes it is very simple, is that they've just... No one's taught them how to manage their portion sizes.
Yeah.
Some people, it's emotional eating, and emotions can be both good and bad. Like, you can emotionally eat for different reasons. It can be cultural things. It can be at times of high stress as a distraction. It could be a lack of choices available. Like you said, if the family is financially constrained, then it's a lack of choices. So you need to always delve a little bit deeper.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not there's such a thing as a morning person. I kind of feel like I'm a morning person, but Jackie told me they don't exist. She'll tell you why. Mark's going to tell us what circadian rhythms are. You have them. If you don't know, you have them, and you are subjected to their whims. See you on the other side of this.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the science of sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport. The science of sport is the name of the show. Craig Anthony Harper, Jackie Marie Lauder, and Mark Wilberforce Fabreo.
Anthony, we said we've both. Anthony's.
Oh, that's right, Mark Anthony. And what are you, Jackie?
Renee.
Jackie Renee. I don't mind that. I'm not mad at that. And for some reason...
I'll let my parents know.
For some reason, you're now erect. What are you doing?
I'm just standing just to stretch a little bit while we talk.
If ever I stand up, Please don't tell the listeners I'm erect. That wouldn't be good. That's not a good visual.
I've just looked over and she's just up like a beanpole. I'm like, what are you doing over there?
Just standing so I can stretch. Just doesn't matter,
after,
does it?
Looking after your lower back. Now, Brett off the SMS on Facebook land said, Mark, what was the name of that documentary that you watched on Qantas?
It's called
Overfed
and Undernourished.
I've actually got it written in front of me, but I was just giving you Overfed, Undernourished. Is that correct?
Yes.
What we're talking about that.
It's about 11-year-old Liam.
There's also another great doco that Mark and I were talking about that's on the Qantas TV, and that's about Serena Williams. So with the tennis coming up, it's following her through 1 year where she was going for the Grand Slam. It's really interesting if you want to get a little bit of an idea of what a tennis player might go through.
Particularly one who's 34 and probably the GOAT. And watch it. And there's really always a reason, isn't there, Jackie, for being the best at what you do. Your complete dedication.
The greatest of all time. All right. So we, our producer, Jackie, said, asked this question before the show. And the question was, is there such a thing as a morning person? And you quite emphatically went, nah, doesn't exist.
No. Okay. So technically, like, we will label ourselves as morning person or a night person. But where I was coming from, why I say it doesn't exist, is because when we are all born, human beings are not nocturnal. That is not how we're wired, right? When we're born and as we're younger, our parents put us to bed at a very reasonable time. So while some people can feel better in the morning or feel more functional at night, overall as a human being, the way we're built is that we get put to bed very early when we're younger. Like most of us through primary school are in bed by 7:30, 8:30. But as we get older and we have more control over our time and we have more commitments with study or whatever, we start to change our own habits. So when we have someone who stays up all night, they have developed that habit, but that is not how they were born. So that's what I mean by a morning or an evening person.
But I guess it's really a matter of, I agree with you, because biologically that is how we're wired, but I guess it's also a matter of what does that term mean to you?
Yeah.
So if the term means to me, I tend to function, in inverted commas, better in the morning, then I'm a morning person.
And I think that's what most people mean. So that's why I say, from a scientific perspective, we're not morning or evening people, but from a functional perspective, I think we are. And I'm definitely, I've always been much better in the morning, up, out of bed, whatever. But I'm like Mark, by the time I get to 8 o'clock at night, don't ask me to do anything overly taxing because I've used my energy all through the day.
My mind is definitely better in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all right through the day, but as someone who writes a lot and has to kind of sit and look at a blank screen and go, alrighty, just that creative tap, doesn't work at 9 o'clock at night. It's well and truly seized.
I'm exactly the same. I have to do it, particularly at this time of year. This is grant writing season.
Yeah.
And writing grants and writing papers is basically what I do. And I would much prefer, if I'm under the cosh to get a grant in, to wake up at 3:30 a.m. and start writing at 4. And then by 9 or 10, I'll do other sorts of work. It doesn't work for me.
You've got to also think about what are your requirements on a day-to-day basis. So technically, the way our schools run and the brain of an adolescent, our school kids should be actually starting school later and going a little bit later. So they should be starting more at 11 and going through to 5 because that's an adolescent brain and the way it develops.
Some schools do that, actually.
Yeah, but that is designed for an adolescent, but our school system overall is actually designed more for an adult brain. Adults can function earlier in the day. Adolescents, because of all their hormones and their growing and their brain development, should actually have that little bit of extra time in the morning to sleep, and you'll find that you'll get better results from them at school if we changed it.
Our producers Jackie has just put on the screen here, siesta's good idea. Actually, we are physiologically biphasic. People don't realize that.
Writing down all the big words for 2017.
Biphasic's not a big word.
I'm kidding.
But so what we've been motioned
to do. He's not a morning person, is he?
Wow. What we've been motioned to do is actually in our physiology, it's, no, I don't need a sedative. In our physiology, it's to sleep two times per 24 hours. Mm. So a siesta is actually, it's probably evolved from the fact that that's what people want to do. I don't know about you guys. Mm. I love napping in the afternoon. Mm.
Mm. Not me.
I love it.
But I think that's a lot of people who kind of get to 50-ish. Did you love napping when you were 30?
I loved napping
really?
When I was 20 because I was training so hard that the afternoon nap was just gold. And I think what you said, Jackie, is true. That meant that was then part of my being.
Yeah.
And I still love that.
I used to follow this, I won't say his name because he's a bit of a weirdo. He has a blog. I'll say his name, Steve Pavlina. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's, you know, he's quite smart, but a bit weird. But anyway, he does this thing called polyphasic sleeping.
Yeah.
Where he literally has 20, 30 minutes of installments of sleep whenever he wants. But he doesn't have a traditional, he doesn't go to bed at 10 o'clock and get up at 6, or he just, through the 24-hour cycle, he just sleeps for 20 and 30-minute installments when he's tired, then gets up and starts working again.
That probably isn't recommended because of the fact that you need to go through a sleep cycle where you have...
For all your hormonal stuff to work.
So where you have deep sleep, REM sleep, there's four sleep. I can't remember them all.
There are four stages
can
of
you
sleep.
Can you get there quick, though?
Jackie?
Like, I'm a power sleeper. Like, I'm alert, then I'm REM.
Yeah, you can, but it depends what you're doing right before you try and take your nap. So if you've been at the highest levels of alertness and then you just try and lay down and go to sleep, your brain hasn't had any time to decompress and switch off a little bit. So there's a difference between falling asleep exhausted and falling asleep naturally where you'll allow yourself to drift into good sleep and then you maintain good cycles through the night.
How important, Mark Fabreo, is sleep in terms of repair, recovery, and optimal function?
Enormously important.
How? Expand.
Okay. So when you are in deep sleep, and Jackie, this is where our boundaries cross, so correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're in deep sleep, your body is getting the benefit of rest.
Mm.
When you're in REM sleep, that's where you're taking out the garbage.
Yep. Mm.
Right?
Yep. So you release a chemical called BDNF.
Yeah.
And what that chemical does is basically, it's like filing. It files everything away for the day and it creates new neurons which allow you to think better. So people who do not sleep well over years and years, their brain capacity, I guess, because they're not developing those new neurons, changes.
And just for the nerds out there, that's...
rapid eye movement.
No, BDNF.
REM. And it's not that banned.
Brain-derived neurotrophic factor.
Yes.
Well, it's funny that we're having this chat because I'm working with this bodybuilder, Josh Lenardowicz, who's a good friend. And
he's come in here, hasn't he?
Giant of a human being, yes.
Yeah. Oh, didn't we take the photo with...
Yeah, you and him. Yeah, hilarious. Folks, if you want to see a freak, Josh, just type in Josh Lenato and it'll come up, Josh Lenardowicz. And now our panel op is doing just that. Yeah, Josh Lenardowicz. But anyway, so I'm helping him organise sponsors and stuff. He just competed in the Mr. Olympia, da da da. And I had an interesting phone call the other day, and I've got no link or association here, but from the good folks from Beds for Backs, who have awesome beds. And I was thinking, that's actually a good sponsor for a bloke who weighs 130 kilos and is performance is crucial and recovery and sleep and looking after that. Because, I mean, he's gigantic.
He is gigantic.
Him on a normal bed, it's not going to work.
No, he's gigantic.
It's not gonna, and I thought, it's actually interesting that that's probably, apart from any commercial kind of benefit, that's probably because they're going to give him, well, I think at this stage anyway, we're talking about some kind of, you know, bed arrangement, which for him would be good. But it just, a lot of people don't, I think, factor in hydration, stress management and sleep as much as they do other things. Like they think, oh, it's all about food or it's all about training, when probably the other things are equally as important.
Yeah, and it's the same with diet. What I say to people is one of the chemicals in your brain that helps us relax and think clearly and whatever is serotonin. And most people hear that chemical and they say, oh, that's what an antidepressant is. It increases the uptake of serotonin. But 80% of your serotonin is produced in your gut. So if you have a bad diet, then you are actually impacting one of the most important chemicals in our brain. And that's why we can be impacted by mood. So when people aren't feeling great, then they stop eating properly. that has an impact on your moods and on your development of serotonin.
Aren't we heading down this road now where we're becoming much more aware of the importance of gut health in relation to neurological health, emotional health, energy, overall health, where not too many years ago, and even now for a lot of people, like, what is that? What's your gut biome? What's gut flora? And all that, and even me, I'm not all over it, but I'm just starting to, like, as more and more comes out with this and I start to explore it a little bit, then, and I think about my own experiences when I've felt great or not great or high energy or low energy, in terms of just feeling a bit average around the guts and then the consequences of that, you go, oh, okay, I get this now.
Yeah,
but all of this comes down to something we're going to talk about.
On the other after side of this. Break. All right, we're going to go to break, 20 minutes to 11. The science of sports until 11 o'clock.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the science of sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's Home of Sports, something that we haven't spoken about a lot on this show, maybe glanced on it over it a couple of times, but that's pooing. so we're just going to touch on that now before Mark gets into his little circadian rhythm speech. But now let's not be gross, but it actually, if you're not...
Oh, good, we'll change the tone during the break.
Well, what I'm saying is if that's not working, that defecation part of your life, if that's not working optimally, that is, you're constipated for whatever reason, it does impact your health.
Yes, and just the reason why this might sound random is because during the break, Craig said, how good is a good crap? And it's true. Let's not beat around the bush here.
Both of us boys high-fived and looked at each other knowingly while Jackie just turned around and looked out the window because girls don't poo. But for us alpha males who, you know, revel in it, couple of tips because I've had, and all jokes aside, working with people very closely with their health and their body and their nutrition and all that for years. So if you're a person that gets constipated, I've got three tips for you. One, obviously more fibre. If a really easy way to get a hit of fiber without eating 14 oranges is a thing called psyllium husk, which you can buy in the supermarket. I think it's spelt P-H-Y-S. Start there, psyllium husk, which is like, I think that's actually the main active ingredient in Metamucil.
Mm-hmm.
So, but don't have mountains of it. Have kind of a couple of teaspoons of it in yogurt or on your cereal or whatever. Next thing is hydration.
Yes.
If you're dehydrated, you're going to be constipated. And the next thing is, and Jackie and I brought to the attention of Mark a product called, and no commercial affiliation, I wish there was, because I reckon I've sold 1,000 of them for them, the Squatty Potty.
Can just explain that, Craig.
Well, it sounds terrible, but for people who have toilet issues, it's potentially life-changing because what it does is when you're in position to do what you do, it changes the angle of your hips and it changes the kind of takes a kink out of your colon, for want of a better term, and it makes things, let's just say it makes things happen way quicker, way more efficiently. I could expand on it, but
no,
I won't.
And far more comfortably.
Far more comfortably. And all silliness aside, like, this is just part of the human experience that doesn't get spoken about much because everybody gets a bit queasy and a bit embarrassed. But
it's just a human function.
Yeah, it's a human function. It is. An important human function.
It certainly is. It
Can
certainly
I just
is.
Add, people think that in the morning when they have a coffee, it's the caffeine that is driving then the...
Need to go to the toilet?
Yes. It's actually more that it's the warmth of the fluid because what that does, it gets the peristaltis, which means the...
Contraction of the
smooth muscle in the colon. And so if you don't have coffee or tea, even a cup of hot water will pretty much do the same thing.
Mm. Just quickly, if you've been SMSing us and thinking, they don't love me, we love you. We love the crap out of you. We just have a glitch in our SMS machine, which means for the last hour, we've gotten zero messages. So we're not ignoring you. You are loved. We just can't get to you. All right, tell us about circadian rhythms.
Okay, and everything we've been talking about, as in sleep.
Sorry, and yes, as Jackie just screamed at me with exclamation marks on the screen, you can call 9429 1116. We'd love you to call.
Yeah, so everything we've been talking about, which has been our microbiome, sleep, our diet, and our toilet habits, all are influenced by what we call the circadian rhythm. So your friend who does these micro sleeps, it's probably not a good idea.
Not my friend, just a weirdo on the internet.
Okay, not a good idea, because there's every cell in your body has what's called a circadian clock, and there are identified clock genes. And these genes, they regulate all your physiology to cycle between day and night. Mm. So if you look at the workers who are most prone to metabolic disease and obesity, shift workers, taxi drivers, anyone who changes their clock. So if you're a shift worker, your susceptibility to obesity-related metabolic disease is far more increased. And there was this paper in Cell where there's several papers where if you change the day-night cycle of mice, they become obese and diabetic. And they did this study where they showed that if you took human poo from people who were jet-lagged compared with people who are on a normal cycle and fed that poo to mice, the poo from the humans that were jet-lagged...
It's a theme this morning is evolving.
You've
started something.
The poo from the humans who were jet-lagged made the mice obese. And that is because
at the moment. I'm a bit jet lagged.
Really?
Don't let me near the mice.
I could say 10 funny things, but they'd all be inappropriate.
But the point is, your microbiome, and that is your gut bacteria, that also has a circadian rhythm. So it's very important that you sleep when you're meant to. Your genes are regulated by the circadian clock.
I feel sorry for all those people who have to work shifts now, like even nurses and doctors. And
Don't do it prolonged. It's really going to be detrimental to your health.
But unfortunately, that's the way so many of those professions go. And if you love that job, then the only thing we can say to people is manage it as best you possibly can and be aware of these things.
What about those, before we go to the break, those weird little glasses that somebody created that kind of tricks your mind? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, the same as when melatonin actually works as in jet lag. And melatonin is produced by the pineal glands. And it means that melatonin goes up at nighttime. So these things to trick your brain can actually work.
And melatonin is one of the things that gets prescribed for sleep because our body does naturally produce it. If it doesn't help you with the extra sleep, there's no known negative repercussions if you come off it.
Yeah,
so it's better than any other drug to start with.
That's a good supplement. We're going to go to our last break and slide in towards a home plate. On the other side of this, don't forget BP. Up after 11 with the first serve and then Sports Central all arvo.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the science of sport, with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport. Just quickly, Doug Ackley has written a book called Front Foot, The Law That Changed Cricket. He sent us that book to have a look at. We'll have a look at that. Jackie's going to read that and review that. He's going to extensively crawl all over that. Doug, thank you very much. Also, if you've got a product that you'd like us to review and it's something in the health, wellness, science space, and it's not ridiculous and you're not just trying to flog a product, although that could be part of it. If we think it's awesome, we might give it a plug. You can send an email to info@theuproject.com. info@theuproject.com.
I like our voting system in here.
Yep, you're reading that. Well done.
I just want to give a short plug to a very dear number of friends of mine who this morning are doing the Iron Bay Challenge. A mate of mine got hit by a tram He was an elite triathlete, Digger Elric, and he's going through some problems. So Andrew, Baz and Peter set this Iron Bay Challenge up. It's the guys are doing 220 kilometres around the bay over the last couple of days. And we're trying to raise money for Digger Elric. So if anyone is interested in that, please go to thegivingnetwork.com, the Iron Bay Challenge for Digger, and try and donate some money. He needs ongoing care now. He's lost 78% of his movement and faculties. He's a fighter. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to plug the boys. And
pleasure, mate.
Go.
Yeah. Best to you, Digger. Love and hugs from Jackie and myself also. So do your best, mate. Fight the good fight. Now, Jackie Louder, before we go, if people want to, you're terrible at self-promotion, so I'm going to do it for you. So you work with companies and organisations. You're a busy woman. You also do conferences and workshops and seminars, and you're very good at what you do, and you're very good at helping people create sustained change from individual athletes up to organisations, and improving performance, not just with athletes, but also with individuals who work in companies. How can people contact you?
Find me at Olympic Park Sports Medicine Centre. So you can send me an email there, info@olympicopsmc.com.au. And awesome. Yeah, get in touch or follow me on Twitter.
Do that. She's very good. Sina, she's super good. Now, speaking of self-promotion, craigharper.net, craigharper, one word, .net, craigharper.net. I'm doing a gig here in Melbourne on March 18. For those of you who need a little bit of a kick in the bottom, an arm around the shoulder, a little bit of direction, a little bit of revelation, a little bit of inspiration, motivation, education to help you create better results in your world and all that stuff, craigharper.net. Go to events, go to Melbourne. And there's a code for you, which is SEN, super creative, I know, SEN. And instead of paying $77 between now and midday, you'll pay $47. So $30 off, lots of good stuff, lots of great stuff to get your teeth into if you're really in that space where you need to do something with your health, relationships, and or life. Jackie Louder, what's coming up for the rest of the weekend?
Oh, rest of the weekend, I am, as you know, as a little pastime, I make cakes.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
You make them. He loves them.
Yes. So
yeah, win-win.
I'm actually, for friends of mine that are getting married next week, I'm making my first wedding cake.
Really?
Yes.
Is it going to be...
Big responsibility.
Is it going to be...
Something that you see in photos for years to come.
Is it going to be a boring old wedding cake, or is it going to be a themed... Because you make everything from racing cars to
caravans. It's not themed. It's classy.
Straighty 180.
Yeah, hopefully it turns out nice and they're happy.
Me?
What are you up to?
I'm going back to Point Lonsdale to spend the week with my kids. And my little one is 11 and she's just started surfing. She's good.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of money in surfing now. And
it's also a full body workout surfing.
A lot of Australians very good at it. Coming up after 11 o'clock, folks, apart from you clicking on my website and getting a ticket and coming along, of course, Brett Phillips. Self-promotion 101. Brett Phillips will be here. Well, kind of here. He'll be at the tennis doing the first serve between 11 and 12 and between midday and 6, of course, as he does every weekend at the moment. Kevin Hillier will be driving the ship, steering the ship, doing Sports Central. See you next week.
See ya.